Lovely to meet you all. You look a friendly bunch, and I just want to thank you. I said that before I really looked at you, and now I'm looking at you in a bit more detail. I'd thank Johnny for inviting me to come. It's a privilege to come and share. He asked me to come. I'm struggling a little bit with this, I have to say. I mean, it's lovely to be here. I'll come back to the struggle in a second, but yeah, I'm part of Kingsgate Church. We meet just across the way, and it's great to hear about the baptisms. We're having baptisms next week, so it seems to be a time of renewal in the church in the UK. Are you hearing of baptisms in other churches and lots of stuff going on? There's one, we're in Elim Church. Apparently, there's one Elim Church. They're baptizing every Sunday at the moment. So God is doing stuff in this country, so it's exciting. Yeah, now what I'm struggling with is this whole business. Johnny said to me, he said, you identify as, I'm going to use that popular phrase, you're a Bognor person. And I had to think about that. Now, can I just have a show of hands here? How many of you, be honest here, would consider yourselves to be a Bognor person? Put your hand up. Okay, all right, hands down. That's healthy. That's, I don't know if you saw how many that was, Johnny. That was at least 50% of the church. Okay, maybe that's because you live somewhere else. I mean, I had to think about this. Chichester is a much better address, as someone mentioned earlier today. And I did a year out in London years and years ago, and this larger-than-life girl said to me, oh, where'd you come from? I said, Bognor. And she started calling it Toilet Regis. And for the whole of that day that I was with her, she was referring to it as Toilet Regis. So, you know, we have to be, it's not great, is it? And I had to think, is this me? Is this really me? Am I a Bognor person? Is that my identity? And I wonder whether more of you ought to put your hands up than that 50% or so. So let me give you points of comparison with me very quickly. I was born in Chichester. I went to the old Bognor school. How many of you went to the old Bognor school here? Oh, not many, one classmate, only a couple over there. All right, I went away for university, but I came back to do teacher training, and then I've worked in both Feltham School and the Regis School, but I don't work in either of them anymore, I hasten to add. So that makes me quite Bognor-centric, doesn't it? My wife, though, Louise, who can't be with you this morning and sends her greetings, she isn't Bognor-born, so that is a kind of a... an uptick against not being Bognor. But she comes from Luton. So, I don't know. That gives Bognor a run for its money, doesn't it, being Luton? Do you support Bognor Rocks? Do you support Luton Town? I don't know. I am a Bognor person, all right? I recognise that what Johnny said about me is true. You know, I am a Bognor person. I wonder if any of you have changed your minds. Maybe you're more of a Bognor person than you think. So I understand that you have changed your name. And I was impressed how many of you knew that you're calling yourselves Mosaic Church. And you're in September, you're kind of rebranding, I think. Well, the real question for me is not am I a Bognor person or not, but what is God calling me to be? That's what matters. And we never stop needing God's guidance. We might think, yep, I know my trajectory, I know where I'm headed. But actually, God, we always need God to guide us because he might be wanting something fresh from us. We can make the mistake of thinking that if we've grown up in one place all our lives, we've never developed or moved on as a person. And the place isn't actually important. You know, it's our relationship with God that matters. And it's also the people that we impact is what matters. The real question I want to ask you this morning is already on the screen there. It's, are you on the way? Are you heading somewhere? And do you know what it will look like when you get there? Sometimes, before you've made a change, you can't actually see that you needed to make that change. Everyone else knows you needed to make it. You just can't see it. But as soon as you've made it, you realize. I can think of a very silly example. Is that we put some fence posts in at the front of our drive over a year ago, and we were going to put gates on them, and we didn't. But recently, we put gates on them so we can close our drive off. Now we've got an enclosed front garden. And it means our dog can run in the front garden and the back. And we thought we should have done that ages ago. As soon as you do something, you see that you needed to do it. But until you've done it, you don't realize. And we love tracking parcels. Well, some of us love tracking parcels. Personally, I don't. Personally, I just wait till they turn up. But I don't know how many of you, if you've ordered something, you're forever on your phone seeing what's happening. And when it says it's on the way, is that a good thing? Is that great? My parcel's on the way. that doesn't tell you anything, does it? I mean, you know, it could be anywhere. It could be in Timbuktu, for all you know. So that's not great. But when it comes to us being on the way, if I say, or if you tell me, Ben, I'm on the way, that means something a bit different, I think. Or if you say, God is the way. Or if you say, God is my way. Those things suddenly sound a little bit more positive than the parcels, I suggest. And a little while ago, a few years ago now, I preached at Kingsgate based on Jacob. Jacob comes to a point in his life where he needs to reassess what's going on. And he's got a load of idols his family are worshipping. And he tells them to put them all away. And he says, look, I need to remind myself of what God said to me in the past. And if you don't quite know, maybe you're feeling a bit uncertain with all these changes going on. Maybe God needs to do that with you as well. Let's turn to our passage. So it's Isaiah 51. If you've got a Bible with you, I'll give you a moment to turn to that or to find it on your device. Just before I share this, Johnny asked me to do this passage. And so it's quite a blessing, actually, to look at a bit of the Bible that you haven't looked at before in depth. So Isaiah 51 verse 1, let's just read a few verses to begin with. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Sorry, it's at this moment I realize I hadn't started my timer. There we are. Okay. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Okay, follow after righteousness. So that's about movement, isn't it? Being on the way to something. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. I don't know what you've come in here preoccupied with this morning. There might be something that's just like playing on your mind a bit. But actually, leave that aside for one moment and seek his righteousness. And God will sort the things that are playing on your mind. It says here, seek the Lord. That's what we do when we worship. We've had a fantastic time of worship this morning with our opportunity to seek him. So if we've been doing that, then this applies to us, okay? We're to listen. We're following after righteousness. We're seeking God. It mentions Abraham here. Look to Abraham, your father, the rock from which you were cut or hewn. In other words, be like him. Copy him. You know how kids love copying their parents, at least till they get to a certain age? It's the same thing. We copy Abraham because he is our father in the faith. He was a risk taker. He had adventures. He took risks. Just like you guys are taking that risk of becoming independent. He did that too. His name was Abraham. He changed his name. So name changes are biblical. I just thought I'd point that out to you this morning, for those of you who are still in love with your old name, Grace Church. And I love the fact that Sarah is central here as well. Sarah bore you, and she bore Jacob, of course. And then his name got changed to Israel. I often forget that Jacob and Israel are the same. And so when we talk about the children of Israel, we're talking about Jacob's 12 kids and his descendants, the children of Israel. And Jacob was really clever with his name and Israel. Well, I suppose that was God, really. But he gets mentioned in the Bible more than any other name. Over 1,900 references in the NIV. More than Jesus. More than the name of Jesus. I like those sort of geeky facts. Sorry. But let's read on. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Sorry, and another bit here. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. Isaiah is a fabulous book. If you've never read through the last few chapters of Isaiah in one go, I encourage you to do so because you'll get so excited about what God has done. Look at this. Don't we need justice? Yeah? Do any of you ever get upset or bothered about some of the awful things that are going on? Even in Bognor, we had a stabbing, didn't we? We had a murder in Bognor. Do we ever get upset? Do we ever get bothered about that kind of thing? Do we want to see our streets peaceful? Do we want to see people, children, feeling that they can walk the streets peacefully without being scared? Yeah, are your kids scared to go down to the shop on their own? That shouldn't be the case. And God is here to bring justice. God is here to bring peace. We're called to have an impact in Bognor. And I also love this. It says, I've forgotten how much I read now. Did I read verse 5? No, right. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. My arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands or coastlands will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. I just thought, just imagine you're tracking a parcel and you open the app and it says, salvation is on the way. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I guess it could be a cheap marketing gimmick and you think, oh yeah, right, pull the other one. But no, actually, it says salvation is on the way there, but it's even better than that. For those of you who don't know, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Salvation has come. Salvation has arrived. We're already in the day of salvation. That's how you're able to baptize people. That's how we're able to commit to following Jesus. Because salvation is here. Forgiveness is here this morning. Yeah? Peace is here this morning. Okay? The answer to your prayer is here this morning. We don't have to wait. That's the brilliant thing about it. And God wants to do even more. I believe he's got so much planned. Now, I have to just try not to lose my place here and make sure I say the things that I feel God's really calling me to say. So I'm going to skip that bit there. And it talks about get back here. There we are. Joy and gladness will be found in her. I love this. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing, just like we've had today. I've got a quote that I love. Joy is the giant secret of the Christian. We are joyful because of what God has done. Now, I have to say, I'm kind of blaming Johnny a lot for stuff. I've already blamed him for giving me this passage. And he said, oh, can you use the NIV Bible, please? Okay, so I pulled out my NIV. But normally I use New King James. Now, I thought, in here, it says, the islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. And I thought, what does that mean? We're waiting for an arm. It's a bit odd, a little bit odd. But if we look at, that's just a slightly bigger version of that. If we look at it in a different version, this is the NET version, which is a very, very reliable translation. It says here, I'm ready to vindicate, I'm ready to deliver, I will establish justice among the nations, the coastlands wait patiently for me, they wait in anticipation for the revelation of my power. It's God's power. That's what his arm stands for. Psalm 8, which is a wonderful psalm, talks about how God made the stars with his fingers, just delicately, because they were like tiny little things. But when God gets involved with his people, with Israel, with us, he uses his arm, yeah, because he brings out his power. He wheels out the big guns, all right? If someone's bothering us, God comes down in power to deliver and to rescue. So I think that's pretty exciting. That's why we're waiting for his strength. I'm going to skip a couple of verses in Isaiah, and we're going to go to verse 9. Arm again. Awake, awake, arm of the Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Awake, as in days gone by, as in generations of old. I know you guys are going to be doing some prayer as you kind of resituate yourselves here. This is a great prayer to pray. We have to be careful when we pray. I don't know how many of you struggle with prayer. Some of you, perhaps you don't pray out loud. Maybe you leave it to other people, or you just pray like a rote prayer. The Bible is full of great things that we can just pray or just adapt. And this is a brilliant one. Awake, arm of the Lord. We're telling God to awake. Because it's in the Bible, it's okay. Normally, you don't boss God around, do you? Yeah, normally it's kind of we need to listen to what he's telling us to do. But this is a prayer we can pray. There are other prayers that I love in the scriptures. In Isaiah, I haven't got it on the screen, 64, it says, rend the heavens and come down. God, tear open the heavens, come down, show your glory, bring revival, Lord. I love praying that prayer. There's a great prayer that some of you might know from a song, the Lord bless you and keep you. I wonder how many of you know where that is. It's number 6. And that's a great prayer. You can pray that for anyone, even if they're not Christians. They'll probably appreciate that prayer. And sometimes we can take a bit from the Bible and we can turn it a little bit. So it might be a prophetic promise and we can pray that. I love this verse in Habakkuk 2:14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And you can, of course, substitute Bognor will be filled. You can say Grace Church or Mosaic Church will be filled. And we can just say, fill Bognor with your glory, Lord. That's a great prayer to pray. Fill this place with your glory, Lord. And when God's glory lands, stuff starts to happen. How many people know that? That when God's glory lands, stuff starts to happen. People get healed. Yeah? And hearts open and hearts change. And people walk in and think, what's going on here? Because God's glory is here. I love also, there's a great prayer, Matthew 9:38. God, send the laborers into the harvest. Yes, send the workers. Raise up the workers because we need them. Bognor is actually quite a big place. And there are new houses being built all over the place. I'm not quite sure what the population is, but we're probably talking 70,000, something like that. And there are so many people who need to hear Jesus. So we need laborers, don't we, to do that. And this prayer, just coming back to it, awake, awake, arm of the Lord, clothe yourself with strength. It's a great request to pray to God. So I'm just going to have to have a bit of water. It's obviously nerves. I don't normally drink so much water. But you're a brilliant audience. You seem to be listening. I don't think too many of you are asleep, which is great, amazing. Okay, and I just want to remind you as well of what Jesus said before he left the earth. He'd risen from the dead. He met up with his disciples. They didn't believe he was alive. They couldn't get their heads around it. They didn't know what was going on. And he said to them this. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is pretty powerful stuff. And this is what Jesus told his disciples to do. And it's what he calls us to do. To share about Jesus with other people. We don't have to give a three-part sermon. We might simply invite someone to a church event. Or we might say, oh, when I became a Christian, my life really changed. And that can have a real powerful impact on your friends and on family and on your neighbors. Why not just say, I'm on the way. I'm on the way with Jesus. Christianity used to be called the way. Early Christians were followers of the way before they were called Christians. There's an interesting bit in this passage in Isaiah about those who don't believe. In verse 7 here, it says, hear me, you who know what is right, you people who've taken my instruction to heart, do not fear the reproach of mere mortals or be terrified by their insults. So when someone looks at you and gives you a funny look, or when someone calls you a name or laughs at you or mocks you, he says, don't be scared about that. And this is God's message to those of us who feel secretly on the inside that actually, you know, Christians, we're inferior to some other non-Christians who lead successful lives. They're doing so well with their lives. How on earth can we come along and say to them, you need to believe in Jesus? They'll just laugh at me. Actually, we don't need to fear those people. Everyone needs Jesus, even the successful people. We're not just looking for the sick and the wounded. Yes, we're broken. We're all broken. But most people don't realize that. Most people need the Holy Spirit to speak to them before they realize how much they need Jesus. So let's not fear people. Let's fear God instead. Fear is a really strange thing. Sometimes it can just be a muscle memory because something before bothered us. It bothers us now. And insults and unkind words, a lot of us are scared of them. And a lot of us let them affect us much more than they should. But we should remind ourselves, kind words, blessings are also really, really powerful. So don't be afraid of speaking kind words and blessings out to people that have a real impact. And who are we looking to in the end? What does it say in Isaiah 51:10? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep? He made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed could cross over. I just love that. When we step out, when we start to say, okay, God, I'm yours. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Suddenly, God starts to move, and we start to realize we're on the way. Yeah, and I think you're going to experience a new time of this now as you rename and as you rebrand, and you say, yep, we're Bognor now. We're Bognor now. And God's going to start, he's going to start turning up for you in amazing ways. I think that the children of Israel, when they got to the Red Sea with the Egyptians behind them, with the chariots pursuing them, they must have thought, why on earth did we listen to this guy Moses? What were we thinking? We were okay in Egypt. We knew where we were. And now we're kind of running for our lives. But actually, God came through, didn't he? And one of the things about the Red Sea is that everyone had to cross over. And there must have been some folk who weren't very good at walking, who must have needed to be helped along. There must have been kids who needed to be carried. Everyone needed to get across. It must have taken a while. And in the same way, you know, it's really important to move on together as a church with him. Really important to be together and to be obedient to God. I love this verse. Those who the Lord has rescued will return, verse 11. They'll enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's also Isaiah 35:10. It's exactly the same verse. Isaiah quoting himself there. Well, this is another time period. This is when Israel was exiled from Israel. The children of Israel, the people, were exiled from the land, and they got to come back. They got to return to Jerusalem. Zion is just a kind of name for God's city or for God's people in the Old Testament. So when you see Zion, it pops up everywhere. It's just a name for that. I had it earlier in my talk, but the idea of being born in Zion, it says that in Psalm 87. If you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, then you are born in Zion, and you are part of Zion. It's worth thinking about this, actually. I don't know, when people would say, oh, tell me one interesting thing about you. Do you say, I come from Bognor Regis? Is that what you say? Does anyone say, come to your minds straight away? Here's another thing you could say is, I'm a citizen of heaven. I belong to Jesus, or I'm part of God's people. Yeah, that's a better thing to say, probably. I don't know. For me, I'm not a great evangelist. I'll be quite honest about it. And I struggle to tell people about Jesus. And I can talk about anything else with massive enthusiasm. But when it comes to God, why is it that we dry up? Why is it that we get all embarrassed? But we can just say little things like, I'm part of this church, or that God's changed my life. And you'd be amazed at what impact that has. I love as well here, it says, gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Do you sometimes feel like, I think probably more of us, and the older we get, this happens, I'm getting on a bit now, we find that grief overtakes us, sadness overtakes us, rather than joy. Yeah? Life does a lot of bad things to us, doesn't it? And it doesn't get much easier as you get older. It gets tougher, but God is more and more gracious to us. But actually here, been ambushed by joy. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to capture joy, to bottle it. We think we're happy. We think our family's happy. We think life's happy. You go around a holiday and you think, oh, we're happy. And then suddenly, you know, it turns into an argument, or the sun goes in, or someone nicks your sunbed, and suddenly you're not happy anymore. You know, happiness doesn't seem to last very long, does it? But I love it here that gladness and joy overtakes them. Alec Mattia, talking about this, calls it an experience of unbroken and unbreakable happiness. And that is what Jesus has given to us. If we get excited about that, that God has given us unbreakable happiness, it made me think of this verse in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. Looking forward to that, but God has much, much more of that joy for us here now. I'm nearly done. I'm just going to do, I think, one more verse. Actually, I think it's two. Oh, I've pressed the wrong button. There we are. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass? This is again going on to those people who reproach you, who insult you. Don't be scared of them, says God. That you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth. I just love that. This is the ultimate name drop, really. I know the one who made the galaxies, the one who made the stars, the one who laid the foundations of the earth. Can we top that? Can we think of anyone greater, anyone more impressive? Anyone more awesome than God, our Maker? We've been singing about him this morning and how awesome he is. And yet, we're in a society that idolizes fear and anxiety, don't we? We live in a society that is fearful of terminal illness. and that catastrophizes about the future. Do you have any friends or neighbors or family who think everything is just going downhill? But actually, we know God. We know different. We know that God wraps this thing up and it's going to be good at the end. It's not going downhill. We've got some good news to bring to people. So God's message to us today is to look to the rock, it said at the start of that passage. Connect with him when we're struggling. I just want to bring one of the prophetic words that has been spoken over Bognor over the years has been for us to be a gateway to the nations. Now you look around, and yet there are certainly quite a few different nations in this town. And I believe God's calling us as his people to engage more with that. I'm quite excited. As part of Bognor Churches Together, there's a Portuguese-speaking church. They meet at Bognor Methodist Church. But they've just come on to Bognor Churches Together. It's quite funny because the pastor, Marcio, said to me, look, I want to join now, he said, because I think my English is good enough. So that's why he's bringing his church in now. But I feel it's really important for us to come together as Christians. It's so exciting to have people from lots of different nationalities celebrating together. So are we on the way this morning? Are you on the way? Are you on the way to tell others about Jesus? Are you on the way with Jesus? Do you want to know more about him? When people encourage you, do you say yes? Or do you kind of, you know, ignore them? Are you hoping that God's going to do something in Bognor? Who hopes that God's going to do something here? Put your hands up. Who hopes that God's going to do something in Bognor? And it's a good hope because God's promised it. He is going to be with us. One definition of are you on the way is happening or arriving soon. So I love that. I think it's great. And thank you so much, guys, for listening this morning. I think it's really important that we say, Lord, soften our hearts. Sometimes we don't feel like being obedient to God. And we can just say, God, help me to be more obedient. Yeah? It's okay. It's okay to pray that. Because all of us are rubbish. All of us kind of get lazy. All of us get bored. All of us get fed up. But we can just come back to God and say, God, switch me on again. Yeah? God, fill me up again. God, refresh me. So in a moment, I'm going to invite Johnny to come back up. And I'd love to pray with anyone who wants a particular prayer this morning. If you need healing, if you're feeling fearful, perhaps even you want to say yes to Jesus and you haven't said yes before. Well, you just want to confirm that you're his. But let's just close our eyes and we're going to pray together first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for these lovely brothers and sisters, Lord, who've been sitting here listening patiently and listening attentively this morning, Lord. I just want to pray a blessing on them, Lord. I want to pray a blessing on Mosaic Church, Lord, on the faithfulness of the folk here, Lord, on their dedication. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them and increase them and strengthen them, Father. I pray that this town will get a revelation of your power through Mosaic Church, through Grace Church Bognor, Lord. Awake, God, we pray. Awake in this place. Awake in Southway Primary. Awake in Bognor. Clothe yourself with strength, God, we pray. Show us that you're mighty to save. We pray for many, many people to come through to a full commitment to you, Lord. I pray that for all the children in this church, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, for anyone here, Lord, who hasn't yet given their heart to you. Lord, maybe they watched the baptisms last week. Maybe they thought, actually, yeah, I want a bit of that, Lord. I want to get on the way. God, I pray that you'll help them, Lord, to feel confident in making that decision, that it's a good decision to make. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you give us joy and gladness. Thank you, God, for your presence with us here this morning and for all that you do for us, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.